Good morning, and welcome each of you to the Lord's house on this Lord's Day morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of each pew and pass it on to the neighbor seated next to you. And please also make note of the announcements in your bulletin concerning upcoming meetings, choir rehearsals, and items needed for the church's food pantry that serves folks in need throughout the Northland, the Platte and Clay County areas. And the youth group will be meeting next Sunday, the 20th, from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Please see myself or Kathy Connell for further details. Let us know if you plan to attend so we can have enough snacks and food ready. As we hope that coronavirus cases in our area continue to decline, we are making plans for Holy Week and Easter Sunday in April. We'll begin the Lenten season with an Ash Wednesday service on Wednesday, March 2nd at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary. I want to say a special thank you to the Ekrit family, Anna Ekrit and her family, for sponsoring the Berry Christian Church youth and families at Winter Jam this past Friday evening. I think we have four or five folks here that were at Winter Jam. Can I get a quick show of hands? Who was at Winter Jam? Melanie and Allison, Paige, Kayla, and Kelly, and Nicole, cool. Yeah, we had quite a few folks. We actually had 18 youth and young adults and, well, several of us older adults as well. You'll recognize those who were there. We'll be the ones walking around for the next few days going, huh? Say that again. Anna and several of her family arrived at Sprint Center 10 o'clock Friday morning to reserve a place in line so that when the doors open at 4:30, we could make a mad dash to the front row seats, which indeed we did. And our group sat right in front of the stage for the entire concert, which went on well past 11 o'clock Friday evening. We were just inches away from a bunch of famous contemporary Christian artists, and the kiddos got many high fives and handshakes from musicians like Colton Dixon, Torrin Wells, New Song, and we felt the heat of the flames, and we got sweat dripped on us from John Cooper of the band Skillet. And if you've ever seen Skillet in concert, you'll know exactly what I mean. Before the doors even open, a little brief story to share here. Before the doors even opened, one of the bands came out to greet those in the front of the line. Adam Willis from Bayside Worship Band approached one of our youth and asked what he knows about Jesus. And our youth responded that, well, Jesus lives in my heart and is always with me. And Mr. Willis asked how he knew that. Our little guy responded, I learned that in church. He then asked what was his favorite part of church, and our little dude responded, my family. And then Adam Willis asked if his family goes to church, and our youth responded, well, my church is my family. He was given a CD signed by the entire band, of which I must admit I'm quite envious. And Adam told the folks in a large crowd that we have an amazing group of kids. Unfortunately, I wasn't there to witness that in person. I arrived just a little bit later with a group of kids that couldn't leave school quite so early. But our little guy, Jace Ekrit, represented us quite well in the presence of all bunch of folks waiting to get inside the arena. So thanks again for all those who attended. It was great music and a strong message of hope. And we also hope that our hearing will be restored in another day or so. Being that close to the stage of a packed arena is certainly a lot of fun until the next morning when everything sounds a bit more muffled than it did the day before. All right, may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. We give thanks for God's divine power that gives us everything we need to live a truly religious life. In this way, God has given us the very great and precious gifts He has promised.
So that
and may come to share in God's divine glory. We'll now sing number 295, all stanzas of In This Very Room.
In this very room, there's quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room. In this very room, there's quite enough love. Joy for all of us, and there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room, there's quite enough love for all the world. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all the world. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very room.
May we bow in a word of prayer. Lord God, we do give thanks for this privilege of being in your house this morning, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray for the presence and guidance of your Holy Spirit as we prepare our hearts for worship and praise and to hear your message. And we pray for the living presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. please be seated. And we'd like to invite the kiddos to come up front at this time for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus on page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Well, first service, we got to sing Happy Birthday to Jackson Miller because it's his birthday. This service, we get to sing Happy Birthday to Miss Kate because it's her birthday. So, would you lead us off here, Ryan? Very good, very good. And before I get started, just a reminder for our 6th through 12th graders, today is family worship, so you stay in the sanctuary today. There won't be youth church. Okay? All right. What's tomorrow? You're right. Valentine's Day. Yeah. Valentine's Day. Do you have Valentine's parties at school? Uh-huh. Yeah? Yeah? That's fun, huh? So, what is Valentine's? What do we celebrate on Valentine's? We celebrate love, don't we? We celebrate our love for each other. Yeah. And when I was looking at all of the verses in the Bible that say something about love, there is a whole bunch of them. I looked it up, and there's like 900 some verses that have the word love in them. No wonder I don't know them all. But I have a few favorites. One of them is in 1 Peter, and it says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." I need anything that's going to cover a multitude of sins. And love is such an easy thing. To love each other, to love our parents and our brothers and our sisters and our grandparents and all those people. Another one of my favorites is do everything in love. Or everything, let everything you do be done in love. You need a hand? All right, here we go. Bonk. Okay. And then there's something that Jesus said. Do you know what Jesus said? Hey, Mr. Troy, do you know what Jesus said? He says, "This is my command to you." Command to you? Yeah, even to you. Love each other as I have loved you. Why do you think Jesus made it so important? Love is such an important topic to talk about all the time. Huh? I think it's because if we really love each other, we're kinder to each other, we are less judgmental, we're happier. It's always happier to be kind and to be nice. We're more willing to help each other. And all of those things are good things to do, right? So, today we celebrate love. Love for each other. Not just love between moms and dads, but the kind of love everybody
The kind of love we love, we feel for you. We love you, the children of our church. We love each other. We really do. She's at that age where this whole talk of love is so embarrassing. That's okay. I love you anyway, Kayla. Can we have a little bit of a prayer? Our Father, please watch over us today. Thank you so much for these beautiful children. Thank you for our ability to celebrate not only the love you have given to us, but the love that we can give to others. Help us remember always, each and every day, to share that love with everyone we meet along the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whoop, hold. If you stop by Miss Carrie, she's got a treat for you. Now go.
This week, as we go to God in prayer, first of all, our sympathy is extended to Connie and Klaus Stark, as Connie's sister-in-law, Shannon, of McPherson, Kansas, passed into the Lord's presence this Friday, and services will be in McPherson later this week. Connie's brother is Dennis. Also, our sympathies extended to Jean Cantola, as her husband, John, passed into the Lord's presence this past Tuesday morning, the 8th of February. And our thanks to everyone for the assistance provided for the Kirby family as we had Helen's service here in the sanctuary on Friday, and lunch was following the graveside service. We certainly keep Lauren Kirby in our prayers, as well as the children, Mike, who actually was here at the 8:30 service, and his wife Debbie, and the children are already back in Arizona. And we also remember daughter Shelley and her husband Stephen, their children. Please keep Dolly Lawallen in your prayers Tuesday morning. She is going to be undergoing a surgery procedure at North Kansas City Hospital, which will actually be open heart, as they will go in and put in a pig valve for the aortic artery. And she was here actually for the early service, and we certainly would be mindful of Dolly as the week progresses and she proceeds through the surgery and recovery. Please keep Tim Jackson in your prayers. He continues to be at home, striving to recover from that lung surgery a couple of weeks ago. And Ardith, we are so delighted you're back with us. Bless you. Good to have you back. Hope you're continuing that recovery. Second round of COVID, that's enough of that business, isn't it? Bless you. Bless you. We also keep Chris and Leslie Martinson's son, Andy, in prayer, knowing that he is now home. We're certainly grateful for that good news, are we not? Hope that he and his family continue to make progress. Andy's wife is Kimmy, and their son is Finn. Also, a number of other folks we've been lifting up over the last several weeks, but these are the folks we certainly want to highlight today. May we bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Loving and gracious God, we offer you praise and thanksgiving as we assemble in your house of worship this Lord's Day. We offer you thanks for the abundance of our blessings as we acknowledge your care for our well-being and your great grace for the salvation of our souls through Christ. In the fourth beatitude, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be satisfied." In this beatitude, we realize that Jesus is encouraging us to genuinely and urgently strive to emulate the godly ways we see in him, for in so doing, we will truly be spiritually satisfied. For the genuine expression of your great love that Jesus gave us while he dwelt among us here on earth, we are so very grateful. For not only by the way he cared so compassionately for the people with whom he shared his life, but also in the way Jesus selflessly offered himself as the final sacrificial lamb, so that we may wondrously receive your great grace. Although we find ourselves often motivated by our self-centered ways, O God, may your Spirit inspire us and guide us to experience the fullness of Christ's gracious ways. May Christ's example inspire us then to emulate his great love in whatever ways are possible for us. For as the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, all of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, and that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. So in our efforts to be Christ-like, may others whom we meet also be inspired to experience the fullness of Christ's ways. This we pray, as we also recite the prayer that Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Tradition tells us that the 14th of February around the year 270 AD was the day that Valentine, a Christian priest in Rome, was executed at the command of the Roman Emperor Claudius II. Claudius believed he was having trouble getting young men to join his army because they were unwilling to leave their wives and families behind. Thus, Claudius banned all marriages and engagements in Rome. Valentine, believing the ban was against the will of God, continued to perform marriages in secret. And when Valentine's endeavors were discovered, Claudius ordered Valentine arrested and put to death. Legend also tells us that just before his execution, Valentine left a farewell note to the jailer's daughter whom he had befriended while imprisoned. He signed the note, "From your Valentine." It is said that from that note comes the tradition of exchanging Valentines with those whom we love and care for. While we assemble at the Lord's table this Sunday, before Valentine's Day, we are inspired by the selfless efforts of the priest Valentine to uphold ordinances of the faith, while we are also genuinely grateful for the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus as he became the gift of life eternal. In thanksgiving, we prepare to receive the bread and the cup of the Lord's Supper as we sing all stanzas of our communion hymn, number 402, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross."
According to thy gracious word in meek humility, this will I do, my dying Lord, I will remember thee. Thy body broken for my sake, my bread from heaven shall be. Thy testamental cup I take, and thus remember thee. When to the cross I turn my eyes and rest on Calvary, O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, I must remember I shall remember all thy pain and all thy love to me. When thou shalt come again and reign, Jesus, remember me.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Jerry leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for inviting us together at this table. As we meditate on your love, we ask that you bless these emblems of bread and wine, which represents Christ's blood, broken body, and blood, sacrificed for our sins, that we may have eternal life, not by our deeds, but by your love. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. We remember the advice of the Apostle Paul as he shared in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Thus we offer a portion of our resources for the blessing and benefit of others, as Peggy offers a word of prayer, and we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear God, out of the abundance of our lives, we offer these tithes and offerings to you. Through your blessing and our willingness to share, may these offerings become a source for hope and love in this church family and in this community beyond us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture text I share with you this morning, Matthew chapter 5, the 6th verse this Sunday. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. May we offer a word of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're privileged to be in your house this Lord's Day. As we continue our focus on the Beatitudes, we are mindful that they give us direction on how to focus our attention spiritually toward you, so that indeed we may experience the spiritual satisfaction you desire for us. It's in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. We need to appreciate the way Jesus chooses to begin his fourth beatitude, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus didn't begin this beatitude by saying, blessed are they who take a passing glance, check out, shop for, or take a casual look at righteousness. And we must surely understand that many folks in the world today in which we live in, they do take a casual look at about just everything, you know, sometimes often with suspicion you know, or thinking, well, you know, I'll check this out, and if I don't really like it, if it doesn't really fit my way, I'll pass it, pass on that, and I'll go on to something else. And unfortunately, many people even look at the spiritual welfare of their lives in that same way. Well, I'll check this out over here, I'll check that out over there, and if that doesn't work, if that's not what I'm, if that doesn't suit me, something else. But here, Jesus says, blessed is the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Now, genuine hunger and thirst were daily occurrences for the vast number of working class people who were listening to Jesus as he shared the Beatitudes in this beginning portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Hunger pangs were commonplace as daily food was of such a small quantity, and yet most people labored vigorously in their lives. The day started with a piece of dried barley bread, dried fruit, maybe some nuts. Lunch for the vast majority of working class folks didn't even exist. If you were fortunate enough to be in an environment where you could A, afford lunch, and B, if you could pause from your working activity of the day and actually eat that lunch, it also usually was, again, dried barley bread and maybe some dried fruit of sorts. After laboring all day, surely you were feeling quite hungry as the evening meal finally came after dark, after everyone had gathered at the home. It too usually consisted of dried barley bread. And why do I keep repeating barley? Because it was the cheapest form of bread that could be made at the time. Not wheat bread, barley. You'd have maybe some boiled vegetables, dried fruits, maybe some nuts. Meat was only served once a week. And for the Jewish people, it was typically the Sabbath gathering. Desperate thirst was also commonplace, as there certainly were no running water out of a tap. The arid, windy climate often brought dusty windstorms. Dust often filled one's mouth and nostrils. When you could see a dust storm approaching, you would take the covering off the top of your, portion of it off the top of your head, and just kind of cover it over your face as best you could. But you know, even with linen cloth, surely it was not woven that tight back in that time period. It was some protection, but didn't offer much in the long run for trying to keep your breathing passages clear of that dust that was coming. Water was only available at the community well or a nearby stream. Warm water carried in a leather flask sufficed while working in the fields or in a merchant's stall or on a job site. Weak wine was served typically only at night. In our day-to-day living, few of us have much concept about what it really means to truly be hungry and thirsty. For me, my only hint of any kind of hunger or thirst came about during my high school years. After school, I drove immediately to the lawns that needed mowing that day, and that was not just occasionally, that was Monday through Friday. If I hurried, I could usually finish two or better yet, three lawns before sunset. Down in San Antonio, I didn't have a snack or a canned drink, and I wasn't about to stop at what we called an ice house, which would be, you know, the equivalent of the surely much more upscale version that we see across the street over here called Quick Trip. I wasn't about to spend my hard-earned money on either, for I was trying to save every penny I could, and it was pennies and dollars back then. And often I'd use my headlights to show me which part of the lawn that still needed mowing or the sidewalk that still needed sweeping with a broom. There were no weed eaters. You did all that by handwork. There were no leaf blowers or none of that. Needless to say, I was usually rather hungry for the leftovers my mom had left me on the stove when I got home well after dark. For obviously this was the days before microwave ovens and instantaneous meals. And of course, it was my task to clean up those pans and my plate and anything else I may have used once I finished, long after everyone else. Saturdays, I left the day at the at the beginning of the morning, and I mowed lawns till sunset. Lunch was two sandwiches, bologna, with mustard, not mayonnaise, because of course mayonnaise would have spoiled in the heat, on white bread, an apple, a few sliced pieces of carrot, and some chips, you know, in a baggie, not a prepackaged bag, because they didn't come that way back then, remember? Water came out of the nearest garden hose after letting the water run a few minutes to take the heat and, of course, the hose taste out of water. And in South Texas, the heat during all that hard work, I would have to say that there really were a number of occasions in which I felt rather hungry and certainly thirsty. I guess that's why back in that time period, my sister called me Beanpole, because I was so tall and skinny. But surely, I never missed a meal. And after all, every house I ever worked at did have a faucet for water. Surely this never compared to the genuine hunger and parched thirst that Jesus' listeners genuinely felt in their day. But for me, it's about as close of a hint as I think I have experienced in my lifetime. Because we are so used to just, you know, if you even think you're even a tad bit hungry, we just march on over to the refrigerator or the cabinet or wherever, and, you know, we just drink and eat stuff casually, sometimes all day long, whether we need to or not. Sometimes out of boredom, just sometimes just because, and think nothing of it. What's it like to really hunger and thirst? Yet here Jesus is saying, blessed is the one who hungers and thirsts, has a genuine yearning after something. Something that is really important for one's subsistence. And in the case of this beatitude, it's all about experiencing the desperation, the urgent need for a spiritual attribute called righteousness. So up to this point, our beatitude could simply be stated in this way: blessed is the one who desperately yearns for the urgent need of what? Righteousness. But what is righteousness? A common dictionary may define righteousness as behavior that is morally justifiable or right. From an Old Testament perspective, righteousness means to act in accord with God's divine moral and ethical standards as defined by the laws of the Old Testament. Yet as we are always swayed by our sinful nature, humanity has never been able to measure up to the godlike intentions and behaviors that are upheld in the Old Testament law. Thus, we know God chose to send his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, into the world to cleanse us from our sin and to help us experience the best measure of godliness that is humanly possible through God's great grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, Christ was without sin, but for our sake God made him share our sin in order that in union with Christ we might share the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, For Christ has brought the law to an end, so that everyone who believes is put right with God. In thankfulness for what Christ has done for us, we are compelled to emulate Christ-like ways in whatever ways we can humanly do so. Not with perfection, but certainly in gratitude and our endeavors to be Christ-like can bring us great joy. As Paul writes again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, all of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces. And that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into His likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. So what's essentially being said here is that we strive to be like Christ because we are so in awe of what we see in Christ. And the more we strive to be like that, the more we are a reflection of Christ, are we not? And as this text says, to an even greater degree of glory, right? Trying to get a handle on, you know, what this means in a more pragmatic way that maybe we can kind of grasp onto, it reminds me of the many young people that I helped when I served as chaplain of the Civil Air Patrol squadrons in Lincoln, Nebraska, and then in West Texas at Dyess Air Force Base in Abilene. Here we had young folks, they had aspirations. You know, they wanted to make something of their lives. They wanted to serve this country. And one particular young man, his name was Andrew. Andrew, he wanted to be a pilot. That was his great aspiration in life. And he finally got to that age where he could go to that first training program in the summertime where he could start flying the Cessna aircraft. And I remember meeting Andrew the very first Monday meeting we had after he finished. I didn't go to that particular program with them because myself and some others were actually at another program in another part of the country at that same time. But when I saw Andrew, you know, he was just grinning ear to ear. I said, Andrew, I said, how was the flight program? I understand you passed. He says, Chaplain, it was the greatest week of my life. So filled with excitement and just, you know, energy about the achievement. Well, as time went on, he kept going through more training programs, and finally, here Andrew, he won the privilege to wear the flight suit, the green, you know, kind of one-piece outfit. That mirrors the flight suit of even our Air Force and Army and Navy pilots, you know. And, of course, right there on the left side of the chest on that uniform, that's where his Civil Air Patrol wings were. So he had made it. And so from then on, whenever he had a chance, he'd wear his flight suit, not the blues or not the utility uniform that's a reflection of the Air Force uniforms, but by golly, the flight suit. But yet that was such an inspiration for all the other younger cadets to see the older cadets like Andrew. And then as the years progressed, Andrew graduated from high school, went on to college. You know, a glitch came in the process. He didn't make it to the Air Force as he was hoping to. But he did become an Army helicopter pilot. Several of those young people, you know, I watched them, I nurtured them, I helped them with paperwork and issues to aspire toward these goals in their lives. And it was a privilege to see five of them go to every one of the military academies in our nation. You see, on a spiritual plane, that's the way we are in our relationship to God through Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is saying, blessed is the one who hungers and thirsts. In other words, has such a urgency in their lives about wanting to truly be God-like. And we are privileged to experience that in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we never reach perfection in this world, do we? No. But we also know we strive to do the best we can because, as the text says, we become a mirror image of Christ that others can see by the example we portray. Right? And when we aspire to do that very thing with our lives, we, as Jesus is telling us, can be filled with such satisfaction because it's a spiritual satisfaction that the ways of the world will never match. And so, the fourth beatitude could easily be stated this way: oh, the blessedness of the one who strives after Christ-like godliness, for that person will be spiritually satisfied. And so where are you today? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today can be that day for that to happen for you. Today can be your day to become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 254, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. We'll sing all stanzas, please. 254. Being in the Lord's house, and we wish you the very best as you journey forward in the new week. May we pray. Lord God, for the privilege to strive to emulate Christ's ways, we give thanks, and we pray that our endeavors may surely bring benefit to the sharing of your glory here on earth by what we do and say. Guide us in that task as we step forward into this new week. Amen.